You want to do another half hour? I don't know if we got another half hour left in this topic.
I think we should just do a wrap up and I'll just tack this all together because the previous one got punched out. So we're this is sort of like we're now wedging back under the balls.
Okay.
Ending of the As I was saying it, I'm like, A, that doesn't make sense, and B, it sounds way more graphic and painful than it needs to.
Wedging under the balls. Okay.
So
I'm preparing myself to wedge.
yes, so you were saying, and obviously this is true, is that, if you are anyone with any sort of salt, you are not doing this for other people. But it goes back to the fact that what people see is what they assume kink is, right? And
Yes.
part of the whole sort of springboard for this, see, theater nerds are going to love the past hour, and everyone else is going to be like, what the fuck are they on about? Be quiet. Talk about balls some more. But it really does wind back to the question of how do you tell the story? How do you show what it is that we do? And the contention is perhaps you can't. And perhaps that's why you get so many sort of lost lambs led astray who are kind of like, well, I saw them do this stuff and I should do this stuff. Well, this is what I assume protocols mean and this is why people are doing it. So I'm going to do these things. And therefore, by doing those things, I will discover, excuse me, what it means to be submissive, what it means to be dominant. And essentially, what you're doing is trying to do a show in front of people who are changing who you are by their mere presence, right? The good shit happens when people aren't looking. And also the good shit is invisible, really, to most naked eyes. I mean,
Yes,
some people
yes.
can see it. There'll be times when I'll like be at a party or at an event and just see like a look pass between people and I'll be like, oh my God, and that would be more exciting than anything I've seen at the dungeon, than all of that shit. I remember being out with it was a group of kinky people, and so everyone could have been as they were in perv land, but it was in a semi-public environment, so no one was actually beating anyone's ass over the table. It was an outdoor picnic, so there's some degree of privacy. And one of the MS couples were having lunch, and the dominant refers to his slave as boy, and he calls his owner Mister. And at one point, they just had an exchange over, where who was going to pass someone something else. And he's like, "Boy, I need you to get me this thing." And he says, "Yes, Mister. Just in a moment, I have to do that thing." And it was so lovely and so ordinary. They were not paying any attention to me. They were discussing the salt and pepper shakers or whatever the fuck. I, as an observer, did not have impact on that interaction. However, I felt like I was privileged to have this moment where I saw a little glimpse into who they were as master and slave in a way that was so delightful and so pure and so loving that I was like, oh my God, like I was getting all teary. I was like, that was so beautiful.
I totally know that experience.
And so like that is the kind of thing that could you craft a thing that would make people feel the same way. You could make up something that would be like the sweet and low version of it, and people would get the idea. But part of what I long for is for other people to genuinely have that moment and say, "Do you see how beautiful that was? Do you see how lovely their interaction was? Do you see how without whips and chains and elaborate language, just that, like there's nothing about that interaction that couldn't have happened in line at McDonald's. People might have thought, oh, that's a bit quaint. But no one would have been like, those perverts, those filthy perverts. But
Filthy, filthy.
it really cut to the, it really was just so much about the heart of what we do. And part of me longs to be able to sing that song for people and have them go, oh my God, best tune ever. And that's what I think is at the core of my possibly, fanciful desire to find a way to bring that to people so they can have that moment too.
I do know, because I've seen that, I've seen those moments before, and I've been moved by those moments before. But I think part of the thing that makes those moments so moving, part of the thing that makes those moments so powerful, is that they are accidentally caught, that they are not crafted, that they are not considered past just the consideration one gives to one's everyday life, right? Like there is absolutely no consideration of anybody else watching, because nobody else matters in that engagement, in that moment. Nobody else matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize the urge or the desire to sort of show people who maybe have more of the spectacle based understanding of kink,
right,
that there is this other side of it. There is this much sort of smaller, more particular, more tender kind of engagement that can happen. That's really lovely. I just don't know if it's possible.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't know if I then this probably has affected a large part of what I've been saying up to this point now in this whatever 4.5 podcast. But I don't know if I want it to be. Like, I don't know if I want people to, I don't know if I want there to be a drive or a push or a movement to take these things that are so like personally precious, so core precious, so life-affirming, personally, minutely life-affirming, and craft them for observation.
Mm. And you are probably right, right? I mean, again, as you say, because science, when you have
don't
an observer.
Don't be hating on the science.
I hate it when it smooshes my dreams. So when you have.
That's part of science's job.
All that was missing was the there, dear. From that, kicking your ass, dude, so seriously.
I would deserve it in that moment, without question.
You know, but it's and that's ultimately what it comes back to, right? It's like, do you drain some of the magic, some of the energy from something by diverting it, even in the slightest? And do you do a disservice to the thing you're trying to share by sharing it? And, you know, it's one of the things. It's like, if you see behind the curtain, are you now no longer impressed by the Wizard of Oz kind of thing, right? And perhaps that's true. And now it's just crushing my tiny dreams of magical BDSM theater.
Sorry, I'm actually entirely the wrong person to speak to about dreams at all.
Why are you so mean?
I don't know if it's actually mean. Mean isn't the first word that I would use. I would use honest. I would use precise. I would use logical.
See, all those things are mean.
Well, I keep on hearing that they're mean, and I keep on not believing it. Because they've never been mean to me.
And here's the thing. I say mean, and I don't mean mean. I don't conflate meanness with cruelness. Because, and I'm being only semi-serious about the mean thing, but there is a certain amount of like, okay, well, here's the pragmatic, realistic thing versus the flight of fancy that, you know, it's like, oh, and this and the thing, and then suddenly world peace. You know, and while that's not necessarily the most realistic goal, striving for it does have its own joy. While there might not be an audience for, you know, theater verite de BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be kind of cool to try something like that. I don't know what it would wind up being. But I feel like there
Yeah.
has to be, and of course, this all comes back around to the whole like, I'm going to do a documentary and then it's going to be a Broadway musical.
I'm sorry, it's going to be a what now?
Broadway musical. It's going to be a
Okay.
Broadway musical called Mo Williams Enter the Dark, starring Flying Spider-Man.
Take back the bug.
Take back. And the thing is that ultimately, yes, you are right. There is so much about what we're doing in kink, etc., that is not capturable and that never will be capturable. So perhaps it's futile to even try to do so. And perhaps to try to do so is to disrespect the nature of it, right? It's like, you know, ice cream cannot be eaten under certain conditions, and that's just the way it is. If it is raining outside, you cannot stand there with a bowl of ice cream and eat it because, you know, you ruined it. It's just not going to fucking work. But I, something and more things with perverts doing awesome pervy theater that's real and has feelings and things. No, you're not buying
I don't know. I got I
it.
you said something perverts doing things, and the generality in that I was waiting for specificity.
No, that's all it was. It's
Okay.
my it's the, it was the tail end of that. You know what that was the sound of? That was the sound of a dream dying. I hope you're happy.
Oh, okay. Why am I smiling? Why am I smiling?
Because you're a shithead.
Oh, I guess it's because I'm a shithead. I'm a dream killing shithead.
That would, you know what? I'm kind of sickly turned on by that. I'm just like, I'm gonna tell you this thing that I'm really excited about, and you're gonna completely debunk it and tell me why it's wrong.
And you know the thing, I'm just gonna do it by asking you questions. That's all. I'm not gonna raise my voice. I'm not gonna get emotional about it. I'm just gonna ask you some questions. And eventually, that sound of the death of a dream. No, okay, so what I actually am interested in though, you still need some recovery time?
I do. I think I should have negotiated some aftercare because I wasn't aware this was going to be so fraught.
Right. Dream homicide was not something that
It's
you
not
really
on my
asked
no,
for.
and I have to put it on my limits list. No ruining my dreams. But it's my favorite thing.
It's kind of my favorite thing. It's not my favorite thing. It is one of those things that happens disturbingly often. And I can say disturbingly often because it does sometimes disturb me. Even as the person who's, you know,
Killing someone's dream.
garroting the fantasy, yeah, I'm. It's not something I. It's certainly not something I set out to do.
Sure.
Sorry, hang on. I need to change that sentence. It's probably not something I set out to do.
See,
As
that's a big fucking difference right there. That's what that is.
far as I'm aware, it's not something I set out to do.
Right.
That's much more accurate. What I am interested in, though, is I'm interested to hear from people. I'm interested to hear from people who do perform. So, people who are listening to this right now, please let us know if you are somebody who performs. If you are somebody who uses kink or uses scenes or likes to perform scenes, I'm trying to think of the right language. What I'm interested in hearing about is how do you differentiate? What is the difference between something you do as a scene and something you do as a performance?
Right.
Because I'm very aware that there could be something that I'm missing. I'm very aware that there could be some information that I'm not paying attention to. Like, I get that that's the case. And because I don't do performances with kink, because my experience with performance has always been has virtually always been on the backstage observing operational kind of side. It could very well be something that I am missing. And you've said some things in this conversation that I would miss, because of my lack of performance engagement and my complete performance observation,
Right.
right? But I'm interested to hear from podcast listeners who perform if there's something that I'm missing.
Because God forbid he should listen to me.
I'm listening to you. All right.
I'm sorry, I just have to get one more cranky poke in there. Cranky poke! Cranky, cranky,
No,
cranky!
that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's just fucking fine.
And it's fascinating to me because I would love to hear if you could hit the little envelope there on the right side of the screen to send a message, or you can write something in the comments, which would be cool. And I think that it would be interesting to hear from people who are performers. I think it would also be interesting to hear from people who are themselves exhibitionists. Because they're doing a very similar thing, right? Part of what they're doing is definitely striving to have that audience engagement,
Yes,
that
agreed.
observation, the engagement of people observing actively, active observers versus people who don't give a fuck whether or not there's anyone watching. For the voyeur, it's really important to have the audience. I actually don't consider myself a voyeur first, I'm sorry, an exhibitionist, strangely enough, right? Because I don't necessarily get turned on by people watching. I did discover, however, that apparently it's possible to provide me with like a completely profoundly humiliating scene by deliberately removing the audience. In a situation, long story short, I basically had this partner of mine who decided that at a play party, I was going to do a fundraiser. They were having a fundraiser for whatever the fuck, you know, it's every purpose thing. It's like, and raise money for this and animals and people with animals that have herpes and, you know, whatever. And so they were raising funds and they were having like a bake sale or whatever the fuck at the dungeon, which was actually kind of cool and raised a lot of money because there were some professional chefs, right? And so what he decided he was going to do, he had this boot that had a dildo strapped to the instep, and he put me in a very prominent position by one of the couches in the front of the dungeon and put a sign on my chest and a jar next to me, and the sign said, "For every dollar you put in this bucket, mobile fuck this dildo for a minute." And I'm sitting across from a clock, and people start walking up, and they're like, "Oh, that's hilarious." I also had an O gag in, which I discovered later, which is now on my list of like, no fucking way, because they make you drool. Don't like drooling. Like, I really don't like it, apparently. So I'm drooling with this thing, and people like just throwing inordinate amounts of money into this bucket and just standing there going, "Oh, she has to fuck the dildo." And I'm just like, "Oh, fine, great, whatever." Fuck the dildo, and then people are watching, and then people are like, "Oh, I need something to drink," and then like throwing water at my face. And you know, my friend is amused and sort of serving as sideshow barker, you know, and negotiating additional things I would do for more money, like, "Oh, well, for 20, she'll fuck it really fast for a minute," and all this other shit. So the first like half an hour goes by, and at this point, I'm like fatigued.
Yes, I can imagine so.
And so, you know, it's no longer stylistically really hot, but I'm committed because, you know, people keep walking up and going, "You're not fucking fast enough. I put $5 in there." And then after about like 35 or 40 minutes or so, there was like no one in the front area. Everyone's in the dungeon playing. And the girl at the front desk is there, and she's like, "I guess you're supposed to keep fucking." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so." And like every few minutes, I would sort of slow down. And of course, like then my friend would come back and be like, But people were sort of just walking by and kind of like, you know, glancing over, not paying attention and whatever. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is totally humiliating. I am like covered in my own saliva, humping this fucking boot alone in this corner with a bucket of money." And then like at about 10 minutes too, I started crying. It's like, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? This is ridiculous. And no one even cares. And and so and my friend came back at this point and noticed that I was no longer drooling because I had run out of saliva. So he thoughtfully had some wasabi in his bag and stuck that in my mouth, which shockingly excited salivary glands I did not know I had. So now I was drooling and that was green drool and so whatever, blah blah. So the scene was finally over and I was like crying and I was very upset. And he's like, well, what's wrong? And I was like, ah. He's like, oh yeah. And so apparently he had specifically told people not to watch. Like as people were coming in, he was like, your Mo's gonna do this, just walk past, just don't even look at her. And they were like, oh, you're so mean. He's like, I know, it's terrible. But what I realized was that while I'm not an exhibitionist, when you are doing something that's obviously designed to be a performance and no one watches, worst thing ever. And so I understand the need for the voyeur to make sure that their game is tight because otherwise, like the whole purpose of the reason they're there is not coming together. And I was like, that was the worst half hour of like ever.
Yeah, that sounds like it would totally be the worst.
It was pretty bad. But so I get it. And in my mind at the time, I'm like, was that performance? Was I performing when, if a tree falls in the forest, if you're humping a boot in the dungeon and no one sees it, does it still make a sound? And the answer is yes, it does. So makes sense. But I'm fascinated by the idea of whether or not like if no one was there and no one was watching, I knew I wouldn't have gotten busted. I would not have sat there doing it. I would have just stopped. Why? Because I'm a bad slave. And I'm like, no one's gonna know. Fuck, I'm tired.
I get it.
But by the same by the
Bad
same
slave. I get it.
by
Bad
the same
slave.
by the same token, had he said, and if you stop, even though I'm not there, I would be very disappointed. I'd be furious, and I would fuck it the whole time. Because at that point, it's a point of like honor. I'm like, oh, fine, you son of a bitch. But luckily, he didn't remember that time. So yeah, the que I mean, I would question whether or not that was what was a performance. Was it performing a service? And I was like, yes, yeah, so I raised several hundred dollars for whatever the fuck charity we were raising funds for
Right.
that particular night. And I know that someone listening to this is going to be like, oh my God, I remember that. And I'm like, yes, you do.
That's very funny.
It's a grim and terrible evening.
Well, and that's interesting too, because then, I mean, to sort of reopen the conversation a little bit, I suppose, that's an interesting side effect of there being. That's an interesting side effect of there being an audience.
Right.
The expectation of audience. Like if you are putting together a performance, with putting together a performance comes the expectation of an audience. Doing a scene in public does not come with the expectation of an audience.
True, unless of course you are a voyeur person and that is the reason why you're going.
But that is that's on the that's on that is from the point of view of the person who is watching. What I'm talking about are the people who are acting.
I
I'm
see.
talking about the performers, right? I'm talking about the people who are having the scene.
Right.
Those people who are having the scene, if they're having a scene, there is no expectation of an audience. If an audience shows up, okay. If they happen to be exhibitionists and an audience shows up, huzzah.
You said huzzah.
I did. I was gonna pull a Dan Savage and say Yahtzee again, but I decided to not do that, which is why keen podcast listeners might have picked up the slightest pause before I said huzzah, because I was trying to think about what actually I wanted to say. My point still stands that if you're doing something in public, it doesn't necessarily come with the expectation that you will acquire an audience. It doesn't even necessarily come with the desire to acquire an audience.
Sure.
But if you are performing, that inherently comes with both the expectation and the desire for an audience. And that awareness is radically different.
All right, fine.
Was that another dream-killing sound?
I know, that was just you going like, "Olé," and sinking another spear into the back of my poor, beleaguered, bleeding bull of a dream.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hang on a second. I actually have another clip. That goes to this bigger gun. Remember that first gun I shot you with? This one is even better.
This is like hella like Inglourious Bastards Hitler death scene. It's like, we're just going to put more bullets into Hitler's corpse.
Yeah. Well, because if there's one corpse you don't want getting up.
You don't want zombie Hitler.
You really do not want zombie Hitler.
Wasn't there a movie like that with Nazi zombies?
Well, there was a movie called Dead Snow that
yeah.
was...
That was Nazi zombies. Right.
That was like Norwegian and was Nazi zombies.
Okay.
And it's fantastic.
I need to see that shit. That looked awesome. Was it really good?
Oh, hells yeah.
Nice.
Zombies.
So, wow, we actually have time to wrap this up in a way that might be somewhat coherent.
Okay. Well, I recognize that, and you've said this too, while this doesn't necessarily seem entirely on track with some of our previous podcasty conversations in terms of like, you know, a very obvious kink focus, I actually feel like this does have a pretty obvious kink focus.
Well, what the thing I loved about it was that it was like, okay, kinky, 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 then this like glorious diversion into the land of fantasy and then the slaughter.
Right.
You know,
that was me.
Like you do, which is fair and also analogous to so many of our journeys.
Yep. And kind of my job, but that's okay. me in science.
I just want to see you like Electric Company style, like leaning against a big series of letters that spell out science.
The killers of dreams.
Dripping with blood. It'd be
right.
Awesome. But that's what happens when you are an emotional sadist. You're like, you know what? I actually enjoy the fact that you might be a little sad right now.
Not gonna lie. And I am going to reiterate how much I would love to hear from podcast listeners to talk about your own performance experiences, both from the point of view of a performer and from the point of view of an audience. If you're a performer, how do you separate that which you would do in a performance with that which you would do in a scene in public from that which you would do with your partner or partners in private? Like, how do those three things overlap or do they not? And then for people who watch, you know, do you feel a difference between being somebody who's seeing something in public and being an audience member? And what is that difference like for you?
Oh, you broke up a little bit there. Being, what was the second thing? Is that people
who the difference between watching something happening and
People who watch. Okay, yeah.
People who watch. Either they're watching something happening or they're being an audience member, and
right,
how
right.
that difference, what that difference feels like
okay.
for them in the moment.
Cool. Yeah, because it broke up a little. I was like, people who wall. I was like, I don't do that, but it sounds really cool.
Charlie Brown's parents all up in here. And I guess the last thing that I would want to do is I would want to say if
quickly.
Just another yeah really quickly, if anybody has any questions or anything, any topics that you'd like for Mo and I to talk about, please do send them in, because that's super fun.
Yeah, please send them in so we can not talk about them for 5 episodes, because we didn't get to any of the questions tonight.
Because we're professionals.
And the sad trombone of the professional exit music.
My sad trombone was really bass there.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
It's a goodnight, Coco.
Goodnight, Coco.